here tonight. Amen. Amen. It's glad you made it back safely, Brother Phil. And glad to see those that are out tonight. Amen. And good to see Lydia and her children back. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service opportunity we have tonight. And Lord, we come now approaching, Lord, the time of reading your word. And we ask, God, that you will anoint us and guide us, Lord, through this little Bible study tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense at any time, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions, in necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments, in turmoils and labors and watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as known yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straightened in us, but ye are straightened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. You may be seated. In the first part of this, Paul is speaking of the ministry and speaking of ministers and their responsibility. And you realize there's actually a great responsibility that lays on ministers. There's a lot asked of them. And, you know, we all make sacrifices and have to make sacrifices for the Lord. But there's times when the ministers are asked of God to make great sacrifices that for the furthering of the gospel, that he doesn't always ask of everyone else. I think of myself and the things that God has asked of me, that, you know, when God has called you to be a pastor, you know, you can't just look out and say, well, wonder where I want to do that at. And what church would I like to pastor? and it doesn't work that way. I know there's ministers that have tried to work it that way. You know, I don't know whether they're called or not, okay? That's between them and God. But I know there is those that claim to be ministers that have tried to work it that way. You know, that there was a time before I came here from the things that Brother Phil had told me and things that there was different ministers that wanted this church. And, you know, honestly, there was, when I first came here, there was a minister I'd met before I came here. And after I came here, I found out he was one that actually did want this church. And he actually got a little upset at me. You know, we made things right between us, but he actually was a little upset at me at first, you know, because he kind of felt like I took it from him. And, you know, pastors don't actually get to choose where they're going to live like as freely as what the people can. You know, your employment might move because of employment or something of that nature or whatever, you know, or you might decide, well, I'm going to stay right here because that's where the majority of my family's at. When I came here, there was, me and my wife and four children, and we left all of our actual family behind, our parents and our siblings the church family that we had kind of came up with. I'm thinking of the things that I've read over today concerning this particular scripture. Brother Branham was talking about Abraham, and he said God called Abraham out and told him to separate himself, and he told Abraham, "You go walk in a strange land." And that's, I feel like it's what I ended up having to do. I had to go to a strange place, you know, where I was a stranger, and the things that where I went were strange to me. And it was, there was a lot I had to learn, you know. And there was, you know, things that I had to learn in the natural of where I, of this area and things, you know. And I remember one thing someone had said to me, said, "Do you like beans and taters?" And I said, "Yes, I do. But I'm from West Virginia originally, so beans and taters to me are pinto beans and fried potatoes. You know, not green beans and mashed potatoes." And, it's not that they don't eat green beans and mashed potatoes in West Virginia, but that's not a thing we normally think of, especially when we say beans and taters. There was little differences like that in the natural, but there was a lot to learn because, you know, people are different in different regions. We do have a little bit of a mixed congregation here because we've got a few folks that aren't originally from the South, but we've got quite a few that are originally from the South. There was adjustments that had to be made, and things that I had to grow accustomed to and learn to and that. But moving on from that, the ministry, you know, they had a lot to be that they're held account for. And I remember my dad telling me that when I first started out preaching, he said, "Look, the most important thing is your testimony." And he said, "If you ever ruin that, there's usually no redeeming it as a minister." You know, if a person who's not a minister, just, you know, a Christian, if they, there's things that if they got involved in and did or whatever, you know, and you say, well, I see I was wrong. I shouldn't have done this, and they repent of it, and you know, they get accepted back in and things like that. But there's some of the same things. If a minister would actually fall in some of those same things, his ministry would be over. Because the thing is, you first of all, you got to have the confidence of the people. And when you betray that confidence, that trust, you know, then there's usually no redeeming that. You're really looked at, you know, a lot. Ministers are just as much human as you are. They're just as much subject to mistakes as you are. And I'll tell you this, even though the ministers have to give an account for so much more, they're not actually held to a higher standard than you're held to. We're all held to the same standard, you know. And when Paul continues to speak on in this particular chapter, you know, he actually begins to just speak to the people, Christians as a whole. And that, Brother Branham, I was reading today, but Brother Branham was talking about, he said, you know, I realize my position, he said, standing here behind this sacred desk. I'm standing between death and life to men and women. And I'll have to meet over there at that great morning. I'm standing between life and death to men and women that I'll have to meet over there on that great morning. And he says, and here souls are at stake. And I've got to stand with them beyond any shadow of doubt before the just and living God and give an account for the ministry. The thing is, you know, Brother M says, the people, you have to give an account for your souls. You know, for your own soul. He says, but in the ministry, they not only got to give an account for their own soul, they got to give an account for your souls. And, you know, Brother Branham makes this statement in Abraham, the seed after him. He says, remember, I'm going to meet you at that morning, and I'm going to give an account for this message this afternoon. So he's saying this message that he preached, he says, I'm going to give an account for this sermon that I have preached. And, a minister has to give an account for every word that they say. And, you know, as Brother Ram called this a sacred desk, I mean, it's something that when you approach this, you should, as a minister standing here to speak to the people, you should approach that with all sincerity and with as a sacred thing. Because, you know, people that are looking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit from the Word. They're there listening to what is going to be said. And they're staking their lives on the things that are preached. And, you know, I'm sure that many of you looking maybe at times that you have actually been around men that have claimed to be preachers, ministers, pastors, whatever, you know, and then you see things that they've said and done and things like that that you say, boy, that's a bad reflection on actually on the office of the ministry, you know. I was told when I came here, when I first came here, someone that was coming here at that time, they told me, they said, you know, we have seen so much out of preachers and seen so much wrong out of preachers and been wrong by them that we don't really trust people, you know. And to which, at the time, I replied, well, I've been on the other side of that because I've seen so much out of people And how, you know, with people would there are people that, and we've experienced it here at different times over the years, where there'd be people that, you know, the pastor, they get up and they say great things about him. Boy, he's just the greatest man and all this and the other, you know, and all that. And then the next thing you know, they can't stand you, you know. And so, I've been on the other side of that. I seen it with my, as I witnessed growing up in a pastor's home and seeing that firsthand, you know. And I, not only as a pastor have I seen that, but as I was saying, as a living in the family of a pastor, you know, when they turned on my dad, guess what? They didn't like me either. And I was just a kid. I was just a teenager. But, you know, if they could point at something wrong on me, that was pointing back to my dad, I guess. And, but, you know, Paul says in the book of Acts, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. Brother Ram says in Questions and Answers 1954, he says to he was talking to the church, the tabernacle right there in Jeffersonville, and he said, you know me well enough to know that when I know something's wrong, I'm going to come to you because I'm duty bound to God, and it might have to hurt you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth so that we can both get straightened out with God. Now, in order to be a correct pastor or minister, you got to watch over your congregation. If you see the enemy coming in, then slip right over here and say, here, just a minute. See, now, that's the wrong thing. See, and then you're watching. And the Bible said, take heed to the flock to feed the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer over. Now, if you fail to do that, God's going to make you answer for it. You know, and so I can tell you from my own experience of pastoring here, you know, that I give everything I got to watch over the flock and to watch if I see the enemy trying to slip in somewhere and do something. And, you know, and the thing about it is, friends, what you got to realize is, you know, it ain't the devil that, you know, personally walks in here and does something. He's got to send somebody to do it. He's got it. It's like Brother Bram says about God. Says, he has no hands but your hands, no mouth but your mouth. That's the same thing with the devil. The devil's got to find a vessel to use in order to do something. And you know, and that's why, you know, you see, look back over the last year, 2023, some of the things that we preached from January on down to where we ended in December, you know, one of the things that that the Holy Spirit brought me was discern the spirits, you know, discern the spirits, because friends, look, not everybody that says Lord, Lord, you know, is actually one of His, you know, and you know, if as John said, you know, bring forth fruit meet for repentance, you know. So if somebody's saying, you know, they want to repent, then there's a way to repent, you know. And so repentance, a true repentance, friends, is not just saying I'm sorry, but it's actually turning from whatever the sin was, you know, not to keep dwelling in that. You know, and look, we want to be acceptance of people, you know, but the thing is, you know, friends, look, not everybody is actually your friend. Not everybody is actually your brother or sister in the Lord. They can come in and you might, you know, we can look back over the past and see things over through my life. I can see times where I thought this one and that one, they were my brother or sister in the Lord. They really weren't, you know. And so discern the spirit. So what is their motive and objective? And that's the Holy Spirit was pointing us at that. And friends, that was me being the pastor, to watch over and see an avenue where the devil was trying to work in. You know, when I preached a few years ago and I talked about little cliques and things that people form in the church and things like that, and I was warning against those things. You know, that was watched over because I seen how the devil was trying to move. And when you see the devil trying to move and actually bring a division among people, you know, within the church, and then you want to identify that, you know. And the thing is, if you realize how it is, you know, that the Holy Spirit from the pulpit, what it points at actually is identifying the spirit. It identifies the spirit. Because look, we're not out to destroy any individual, but we're out to identify the spirit that's working there, you know, to stop that. And, you know, the thing is, if you identify that spirit and then you separate yourself from that, you know, and I'm not talking about the individuals, you know, because look, friends, Satan can... You know, look, Satan can actually use a saint at times to actually cause some damage. The only thing that needs to happen is you got to identify that spirit, and then the saint needs to be corrected. But, you know, and again, that comes to actually discerning the spirit of the individual. You know, that it's not actually... You know, it's just something that the devil sometimes has placed in their mind, a thought or something, you know, that gets them, you know. I've had people sometimes thinking, well, so-and-so, you know, the way they kind of seem like they avoided me out here outside church in the parking lot and that, maybe I'd done something, they got something against me, they don't like me, you know. These are saints of God, but sometimes it's just some thoughts that the enemy injects into their mind and they dwell on it. And it just, that just needs to be exposed, you know. But Brother Branham even talks about in the message where he says, you know, you're a real sweet group right now. He said, but Satan's not going to let you stay that way. He says he'll send someone in among you and inject them with poison. And those are the things that a pastor has to watch over, you know, and give warning. And if the pastor doesn't, then he's got to give an account to God for that. He's held responsible for it. Brother Branham, I was reading in this, as I was studying on the other part, the last part of this particular chapter, where Paul is speaking of be not unequally yoked together with them believers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, what concord hath Christ with Belial, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God said, I dwell in them, and I walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you realize, Paul starts out at this chapter is talking about the ministry. But then he goes into this part about separating ourselves. And, you know, I was studying this today, and Brother Branham goes through this in the message of possessing all things, and he begins to talk about how Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and told Abraham to come out of the land where he was dwelling, and he called for Abraham to separate himself. And of course, we know that Abraham didn't, at the first, he didn't completely do that. That when he came out, he took his dad with him. And, you know, and so Brother Branham actually says in one place, says, you know, that's what God had to go ahead and take Abraham's dad off the scene so he could get Abraham separated from him. And then there was Lot. You know, he took his nephew with him. And then finally, you know, the Lord speaks to Abraham and says, look, you got to separate yourself from Lot. And, you know, and so Abraham tells Lot, you know, look, you take your pick. You go there, I'll go here. Or if you go here, I'll go there. And so he gives Lot the choice. And Brother Branham says it was God was calling for total separation. Abraham to totally separate himself before he would bless him. And, you know, he says, and Lot, and Brother Branham doesn't like, if we can call them, like, you know, a believer, Brother Branham doesn't actually separate Lot from that. Remember, Brother Branham actually says, you know, Abraham was a silver dollar and Lot was a penny. He said Lot couldn't help it that he was a penny. That's just what he was, you know. But Brother Branham says Lot could say, well, I'm a believer, you know, and it'll be okay for me to go down here and live down here, but I'm still a believer. And Brother Branham says, it turns out it wasn't all right, you know. And because, as the scripture actually says, Lot pitched his tents toward Sodom, you know, and then we realize Sodom grew out and encompassed him. And then by the time the angels come down there, Lot actually holds a political position in the city of Sodom, you know. So ministers, Brother Branham was talking about it in this, they have to separate themselves. Now he's not talking about separating themselves from the flock, but they have to separate themselves, he says, from even the appearance of things that are wrong, that would appear to be wrong, you know. And he says, you know, a minister's got to watch every move that he makes. And he said, you know, the people, you might say, well, I'm tempted by this, or I'm tempted to wear this, or I'm tempted by that. He says, but the minister, he says, the devil comes so sly. And Brother Branham gives an example, and he says, you know, somebody will come and say, hey, look, why don't you go over here and preach at this church over here? He said, you know, and he said, but does God want you to go over there and preach at that church, you know? And so he says, you know, it's just, you got to watch. And that, so now back to this about where Paul says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so we, you know, from that particular scripture, of course, we have used that and go to that many times when we're counseling people, young people, about getting married. And to not be unequally yoked. And Brother Branham says in Hebrews chapter 3, it was preached in 1957, he says, separate yourself. Don't yoke yourself with unbelievers. Young man getting married, marry some girl that don't believe, or some young girl marry a boy that don't believe. Don't you do that. I don't care how cute he is or how cute she is or what those big eyes she's got. They'll all fade away one of these days. But brother, your soul's going to live forever. You be careful what you're doing. If she ain't a real believer or him a real believer, don't you yoke yourself up with that. Stay away from such. It'll cause you trouble down the road, you know. And friends, I'll tell you this, I've lived long enough to see folks my age and people actually even older than me, their lives and that where they actually, they got married, you know, to somebody they thought believed this message, you know, and I believe this message, they believe this message, you know, and that. But the thing about it was that person really had never, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, then as the life begins to go on, you know, and that, and then the one decides, well, they're so drawn by the things of the world and things, you know, that it didn't matter if they were raised in a message home or whatever else, that's the way they go. And then, you know, and I realize, you know, sometimes there's prodigals and they're going to come back, and we've witnessed that. But I've witnessed those that where, you know, this particular thing happened. And I'll say a little more about that in another quote. But Brother Branham says, he talked about in Be Certain of God, he was talking about Ahab. And he said, in his wedding, instead of marrying among his old people, he went over and married a sinner, an idolater, a worshiper of idols. He married Jezebel, and she was not a believer. He says, and no believer should ever marry an unbeliever under no circumstances, should always marry believers. You know, now, there is people that they say they believe this, you know, and that, but, you know, as I was saying earlier, there are certain beliefs that people have that don't actually come from the Bible. It comes from how they were brought up or the region they lived in, you know. And you know, there was a common thing that people used to always think, you know, and some still do today, you know, well, if a boy, you know, if he gets a girl pregnant, the honorable thing to do is marry her. Well, the thing is, friends, two wrongs don't make a right. I've seen individuals that did that. There was a young lady, I remember years ago, that she was going to our church, and then she started to seeing this unbeliever. She should have never been seeing him in the first place, but she started seeing this unbeliever. But it was, I guess, because she hadn't really ever really fully committed or surrendered her own life completely, you know. And so it was trying to live on both sides of the fence, sort of to speak, you know. And so she gets involved with this man, and then she ends up, you know, she's with child. And, you know, and so there were some telling her, don't do it, don't marry him, you know. He doesn't have any desire to serve God, you know. And there was even one that said, you know, look, I saw this individual, man. He has got a real problem with anger and things. And said, don't marry him, you know. But there was others, you know, telling her, oh, he's got a good job, you know, he'll take care of you, this and the other, you know, and it's going to be his child. That's the thing you ought to do, you know. You after you've done this, then the right thing to do would be to get married. I'm going to tell you something, what happened, friend. He almost beat her to death. She ended up in the hospital. And on down the road, divorced. With two children. It was not the right thing to do. But listen to what Brother Bram says here. He says, a believer should never, ever marry an unbeliever under no circumstances. Under no circumstances. That makes it pretty plain. Say, but if, no, under no circumstances. Exactly. But what if, no, under no circumstances. What if we're talking about pregnancy? Under no circumstances. It ain't going to make the situation better. Now, I know it's, you know, a disgraceful thing. To, you know, in society, for a woman to have a child out of wedlock. But I'm going to tell you something. Coming up here and exchanging vows, it doesn't remove what actually happened. So, under no circumstances. Now, this is one that I actually came across within the last year or two. I hadn't, you know, I had listened to this message different times, but I just never had really, I guess, focused on this or caught this or didn't have this on my mind when I was listening to this message. I've actually even played this message right here in this church years and years ago. But Brother Ram says, this is in Looking at the Unseen. So maybe it was a little different message than what I actually played right here, because I think what I played right here was what Brother Ram calls looking to the unseen. But this is looking at the unseen. Brother Bam says, a few days ago, I was listening to a program on the radio coming to Sunday school. And it was a roundtable discussion with teenagers in Louisville. And what was one of the most important things was a girl to find a boy with curly hair or a boy, the girl with pretty blue or brown eyes. Did that make a difference? It seemed like that would be the great thing to a teenager. But that isn't the greatest thing. The greatest thing is to find your God, your maker. So you realize, friends, look, the thing is, you got to, when, and I know I've got nobody here of marrying age or whatever, but I got parents, and at some point, if the Lord tarries in your life, you're going to have children of marrying age. And so, you know, it's best you know this. And so the greatest thing, first thing, they need to seek God. And young people sometimes, they get something in their head, some of them, you know, where it's just like it becomes the first most thing in their mind is they got to find somebody to get married. You know, and that's not what you should be focused on. What they should be focused on is actually serving the Lord, you know. And this is just speaking on the spiritual aspects of things, you know. And God should come first. Now, with that in mind, listen to what Brother Branham goes on and says. Don't mix Mary. Marry a boy that believes just exactly like you do. For after all, God is the main important thing that you are on this earth to do is to serve him. If you marry anything contrary to that, you'll pay for it in the days that lay ahead of you. Marry, he said, a boy that believes just exactly like you do. Now, you know, you can take that and broaden it out and say, okay, you know, if you're a message believer, you shouldn't be marrying somebody out here in a Catholic church or the denominations or whatever else. But I want to tell you something, friends. There's a lot of people who claim to believe Brother Branham was a prophet and claim to be message believers that don't believe like you do. And I'll tell you, you think that won't cause a problem? That will cause a problem. Listen, there was a time, now this isn't really, as far as I know, it's not really so much a thing. It's kind of faded out, you know. It kind of, you know, ran its course and was over. But there was a time when I was coming up as a teenager when, you know, this doctrine of seven thunders was just really running rampant all over the place in the message. And you know, what it was ministers that claimed to be message believers that they were putting together this quote and that quote and this quote and this scripture and that scripture and things like that. And what they came up with, there these seven thunders that was going to utter, that actually what it was seven different ministers that they had identified that was on the earth right then that was going to be one of those thunders. And if you wanted to make it, you had to be in their churches. And I'll tell you what, friends, that doctrine started emptying churches out. People started running and flocking to this thing. And these churches that were preaching this and that, they began to really grow. And you know, and they were having their big conventions and all this, you know, and their gatherings of people and things, you know, and people were going with the expectation of, oh my goodness, what are we going to hear? What are we going to hear? What are we going to hear? You know, and boy, they're really going to sound out these mysteries. When I, from what I'm telling you, you're sitting here and you've got these years of the teaching of the truth in you, and that, and you look and you say, well, that's ridiculous. But there was people that believed that, and they claimed to be message believers. There was people that claimed to be message believers. And young men and women from other churches married into some of these other families that said that they was, you know, had so long and said they were message believers. And then after a little bit, all of a sudden, you know, and one of them was the pastor of the church and his brother and all them, all of a sudden, they left the message. Now, I know of one individual, I don't know him, you know, I don't really have a real relationship with him, but I just kind of know of him and that. I actually knew more of his dad than I did him ever. But you know, there was one young man, he actually married somebody from that family. You know, now I don't know if they're having any problems or anything like him and his wife or anything like that, but I can tell you this, you know, there's no way they can have true fellowship with her mom and dad. Because her mom and dad has got online and wrote all kinds of horrible things about Brother Branham. So you've got to watch, you know, and that's why I stress this with Brother Branham says, marry a boy that believes exactly like you do. So, you know, when... You know, just call somebody and say, well, you know, look, I'm a message believer. You know, these young people, they go to the youth camps, and they get these youth camps, you know, and they get, they just, by sight and things, they feel like they're attracted to a certain individual or whatever, you know, and they want to get to know them, and they want to text them, and you know, because I guess they don't write anymore like used to when I was a kid, you know, but... they can text and call and all these different things and social media and everything else, you know, and all this, you know. But, and the thing I say is when they tell me, well, I've met a young man, or I, where did they go to church at? Who's their pastor? Some years ago, I'm sure Brother Phil won't mind me saying this. Some years ago, Brother Phil was in had got invited to go preach some places over here a little east of us, and he had went and he preached at this one church, and right now I can't remember exactly what it was you had preached on, and that I remember you telling me, but boy, that pastor didn't like what he had to say at all. And you know, he really had some things to say to Brother Phil after Brother Phil got done preaching. He didn't believe that. But here's the thing. You know, now I don't know that minister. I don't know what eventually became of him. I don't know. I had preached there years and years before Brother Phil ever went there. But I don't know what became of him, but when I went and preached for him, him and his wife was divorced. And she didn't want to, turns out, I guess she wasn't a believer. And that, but I think later on, he actually ended up getting remarried, you know, because they find a way. You know, brother. The scripture plainly outlines things on marriage and divorce, and then God sent us a prophet that came and actually, you know, made it more clear, actually delivered the mystery of the whole thing and brought it together in the scriptures, you know. But somehow, you know, they find a way, you know, that, well, I can get remarried because of this or that or whatever. But they believe the message. And then, look, friends, we know we've got folks that believe Brother Branham is going to come back. He's got to ride this trail again, return ministry. They believe the message. I'm going to tell you what, don't let one of your children marry into that stuff. It don't matter that they're saying Brother Branham's a, they believe Brother Branham's a prophet. I'm going to tell you something right now, friends. They don't believe the message. Because what they believe, the message doesn't say. So it needs to be more than they go to a place that claims to believe the message. What do they believe? What do they preach? All right, let's move on from that. Let's see, what time is it? Okay, I got a few more minutes. Brother Branham goes on talking about this from this scripture about not to being unequally yoked together, and he takes it on further from just talking about marriage, and he takes it actually to the fellowship of the people and what you're fellowshipping with, what you're doing. And he says, the thing is, don't yoke yourself up among unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked together. Many places in the scripture teaches us we should separate ourselves. The first thing that God required Abraham to do when he called him was to separate himself from his people, his kindred, and then he'd bless him. Now he says, it doesn't necessarily mean you got to leave home. It just means you got to separate yourself from your worldly associates. The Holy Spirit separates us from the things of the world. He said, and then in this same message, this is separation from unbelief. He talks about people choosing a pastor. He says, sometimes people want pastors to be mixers. He says, but God actually, his pastors are separators. And he says, because you got to be separate from the world, and that our whole affection should be set on Christ Jesus. And he says, Abraham, God called him, he says in Hebrews chapter 7, said God called him out of the land of the Chaldea and the city of Ur, and told him to separate himself from his associates. God calls men and women, he calls a separation. Now, he said, that's the trouble with churches today. They don't want to separate themselves from the old carnal unbelievers, and that's why we can't go any further. He says, Jim is a good guy. He does drink, and he tells dirty jokes, but I go with him to the pool room, but I don't play pool. I go with her over to the party. They tell dirty jokes and so forth, but I don't tell any. Brother Bam says, come out from among them. Now, be not unequally, he says, separate yourself. Touch not the unclean things. Be ye not yoked up with unbelievers, unequally yoked together. Don't do it, separate yourself. And he says, God called Abraham to separate himself from all his kindred and to walk with him. Brother, sometimes it means leaving a church. Now, there's many of you that can say when you came to the message, that's what it actually meant for you. When you came to the revelation that God had actually sent a prophet and that this message was true, you had to leave where you were. You might have first started turning to God in some type of a denomination or something like that, but then when you came to, were introduced to the truth and realized it was truth, you had to come out of that. And friends, look, that's one of the things God sent the prophet for. You realize the prophet, remember in his message when he would cry, he talked about that Catholic church, that Catholic system, religious system. And he said, look, she was the great whore of revelations. And said, and in the book of Revelation, he said, she had daughters. And Brother Abraham said, those daughters were the Protestant denominations. And Brother Abraham says, come out from among them. There came a time in Brother Branham's ministry where it started separating from that. But where it says, oh, Jim's a good guy, and that, look, friends, You say, well, I've got some friends, workers, people maybe you work with, and or that you've been around, and you say, well, they're my friends, and you know, I there are some things I go do with them. Maybe you go fishing, hunting, hiking, whatever, you know, and all this, you know, and that. Look, I'm not telling you don't do that. Remember the story. This came to me today when I was studying on this. Remember the story Brother Branham talks about that he used to go hunting with this one hunter, this one guide? His name was Bert. And Bert was not a believer. And Bert made fun of Brother Branham. And you know, Bert, Brother Branham would say he had those lizard-looking eyes. And he would, there was times he would make fun of Brother Branham, you know, call him a preacher and that, but he'd make fun of him because he thought Brother Branham's just too squeamish about things. And when it came to hunting and killing and that, and you know, Brother Branham would make statements like, look, don't shoot at birds for target practice. He said, that's not right. And he actually says that in Jesus at the Door where he talks about Bert. You know, but Bert, remember, Brother Branham said, you know, look, Bert was an unbeliever. He was a sinner. He wasn't serving God, but Brother Branham went hunting with him. But Brother Branham said he realized the thing was what Bert needed to see was something that was real. See, Bert had saw other so-called Christians. It turned out they weren't real. But he said Bert needed to see something real. And remember he talked about it, he said Bert had made this, had this little whistle or call or whatever it was, you know, that sounded like a little fawn. And he said he would do that, and it would make that doe that was out there, he said she'd raise up because she'd hear that little fawn call, bleeding, you know. And he said, Bert told him, he said, watch this. And he was telling Bert, don't do it. Please don't do it. And he said, I guess it just kind of egged Bert on. And so Bert blew that little fawn call like that. And when he did, said, Brother Ram said, that real mother doe stood up out there to look. And said, when he did, said, Bert brought up his rifle and he aimed in on her. And Brother Ram said, I knew he was going to blow her heart plumb out of her. He said, I couldn't watch. He said, I actually turned my back and that I didn't want to see it. He said, but then after a little bit, he said, that gun began to kind of wobble a little bit and that. And he said, then Bert put it down and he said, lead me to that God. He said he had finally saw something real. And then Brother Branham, when he ends up talking about that in this message, he ends it with saying that, you know, you're the salt of the earth. You Christians, you're the salt of the earth. And so sometimes you're out there and you rub shoulders with these other people. Be salty. So the thing is, look, don't be a partaker of anything that's wrong. You know, but it doesn't, you know, look, there's such a fine line with all this, really, friends. And we've actually taught on this going through the books of Corinthians, the different places that Paul has talked about, you know, and, you know, Paul would say in places about don't even sit down and eat with them. But what is Paul talking about in that particular part that we went through that in Corinthians, you know? And Paul is speaking here, and you realize, look, like this, friends. I'll tell you how I feel on this. Somebody goes out here, and they turn their back on this message, and they go out here and they're posting things online against Brother Branham and all this. I don't even want to sit down and eat with them. You understand what I'm saying? And I believe I'm right according to the scripture. The thing is, friends, look, they've had their opportunity. You can't be salty to them. They've had their opportunity. They've made up their mind. Now, I'm not saying that somebody, you know, just everybody that leaves or falls out into the world or whatever, you know, you say, well, that's it for them. I'm not saying that. Because we realize there are prodigals. There are those that go astray, but they belong to God. They belong to God. God's going to bring them back. But let me tell you like this. As Brother Ram talks about, he says sometimes it does mean separating yourselves from your family and ones and that. Well, look, growing up, I can remember a time when I was real young that there was a time I remember the Browning family being my grandparents and my uncle and my aunts and that. And my dad, you know, they got together to celebrate some Christmas together. And I remember that at least a couple of times being that way. But then it got to be where, you know, when they were getting together, you know, because my grandfather, he wasn't serving God. My uncle wasn't a believer. He wasn't serving God. And some other uncles and that. And they would get together, why? They had to drink. They had to have some beer. When that began to happen like that, you know, and then they had their family reunions and things like that, my dad wouldn't go. He wouldn't take us because he knew that's what they were going to be doing there. So he didn't want any part of it. So, well, I'll just go. I'm not going to drink. You need to shun the very appearance. Those are things you need to be separated from. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. There's really no good communication you can have with somebody that's intoxicated. You cannot have a good conversation with an intoxicated person. But, like I said, you know, the example I gave about Bert, you know, you're the salt of the earth. You can be a testimony. But you're not going to be a testimony if you enter into the sinful, wrong things that they're doing. Quickly now. In Revelations chapter 3, and we actually read out of this a couple of Thursdays ago, where Jesus is actually speaking, you know, the Lord's actually speaking to John, and he's saying to the church of Laodicea, and as he speaks there, you know, he says about them saying that they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not, they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then the Lord says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, thou mayest see. Brother Branham, he says this in the Laodicean Church Age, in the Church Age book. He says, and this is what the church has constantly done through the ages. She's left the word of God and taken her own creeds and dogmas. She's organized and joined herself to the world. Thus she is naked, and God is judging her lewdness. The only way she can get out of this dread situation is by obeying the Lord and coming back to his word. Revelations 18:4, come out of her, my people. And then he goes through and he actually quotes the scripture that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, where it says, be not unequally yoked together, and then to separate yourselves. And Brother Ram says, there is a price to pay for these garments that the Lord is saying, buy of me that you have white raiment. He says, there's a price to pay for these garments, and that price is separation. Brother Ram says this in End Time Evangelism. He says, he's talking about the Catholic Church. He says, they're the first ones that had an organization, a denomination, and it's the mother of them all. And the Bible said in Revelation 17, she's a prostitute herself and a mother of harlots and her daughters. And that's what the Bible said. Jesus Christ said that. The Roman Catholic Church was a prostitute, and all of her prostitute daughters were harlots with her. And he said, come out from among them, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and I'll receive you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me. See, so there you are, having the forms of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And, you know, I remember hearing when I was a young boy, you know, people would get in their minds they wanted to move to a certain state or a certain location or a certain place, you know. And I remember actually hearing some, even when I was about 20 years old, saying people that, men that were nearing retirement age, you know, and here they were part of our assembly, and they were talking about, well, when I retire, I'm moving to back to West Virginia. Well, you know, friends, look, I'm going to tell you something. North Carolina is like sprinkled all over with message churches, and there's a lot of message churches in Tennessee, but I'm going to tell you that's not so with West Virginia. So, you know, where are you going to move in West Virginia? You know, and people, they say, well, and then they would make this statement. Well, Brother Branham says, if you can't get a loaf, take a slice. But they're taking that, and they're making that statement like as to say that, well, look, you know, what it is, you know, Brother Branham said, if you're eating a piece of cherry pie and you come to a pit, just spit out the pit and keep on eating the pie. And you said, you know, so they would say, you know, they could go to a church that wasn't actually a message church, and they'd just glean out of it things, you know. You ain't going to make it. Because I'm going to tell you something, friends. They don't have the truth. They don't have the word. I'm going to tell you something even further, friends. They don't even know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know the truth of the word. You're not going to grow on that. It is not all right to say, I'll go to some church that isn't really preaching the truth. I'll just glean out, you know, things, good things. You're not going to grow. You're not going to get ready for a rapture there. You're not going to get closed with the word there. Your faith is not going to be increased. You, friends, an individual that does that, I'll tell you what they'll become. As Brother Branham said, you know, I think it was a couple of Sundays ago when I said, Brother Branham said, you'll become anemic. Malnutrition, malnourished. Come out from among them. Now, let's say you go somewhere to visit some relatives. And they, you know, and you're there over the weekend. It comes Sunday and they're getting ready to go to church, and their church is a denomination. Look, if you're there, go on and go with them. Go on and go with them. You're not being a good testimony by saying, well, y'all go to church. I believe in going to church, but I ain't going to church today. But you can't go there and make that your home church. And friends, you can't go to a church that isn't preaching the truth this message and say, well, I'm going to be a light. Because that's not the way God works. God does not send a lay member into a church that's claiming to believe this message or preach this message, but it's actually not preaching the whole truth of this message, and send some lay member in there, and they're going to be a light to that church and that pastor. It ain't going to happen. Oh my. My last thing is in God's provided way. Brother Abraham says, God, when he calls people, he calls for total separation from all the things of the world, annihilation from the worldly things. Separate yourself, and God will bless you. Come out from among them, be not partaker of their sins. Yoke yourself not up with unbelievers, but yoke yourself up with believers, fellow citizens of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can see these things in your word, Lord. And God, and as you've been leading us, Lord, there's many things, Lord, that the people have been aware of this verse or this passage or this, maybe even a particular verse being stated or quoted during at times, Lord, and they believe it, Lord, but sometimes, Lord, it's just good to see where does it all come from, Lord, and where it lays, dear God. And Father, so I thank you for these teachings. I pray, God, you'll bless your people. Lord, I hear it storming outside, dear God. I pray you'll be with the people, Lord, as they leave, dear God, and as they're going to be driving home through this storm, dear God, watch over them, keep them safe, Lord, deliver them safely home, I pray. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.